the Atlantic City or Ocean City Boardwalk, depending who we have, and I will be street preaching, and then you can pass out the tracts, and et cetera. It's going to be a nice time to give out the gospel and see the Lord literally work in front of our eyes to convict sinners, to be saved. And over the years, we've led quite a few teenagers to the Lord on the boardwalk. Some adults have been thinking about it. So it's just a lot of seeds have been planted over the years in this ministry. All right, at this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. And we want to hear your testimony tonight, what you are thankful to God for on this beautiful, beautiful night. A little bit hot, but beautiful nonetheless. We have much to be thankful for. All right, we'll have our ushers come when they are ready. I think they stepped out for a moment. Anybody have a quick testimony? What are you thankful to God for tonight? Yes, Mrs. Wright.
Their lighthouse, they want to expand. They have quite a few outreaches in the community, and they want to do more, and they're looking, they let the community get up on their night, they want to do more. That's a blessing to do it. They pray for their church, because their building, when it was built, was under a snow load approval of 35 pounds. 2 months later, it changed to 50 pounds, and their church bowed and snapped under the weight of the winter. So it was last year. So insurance is going to be helping cover much of the damages, but it's a taking time. So when they sit in church, they're beamed to the floor every couple of feet, all the way down the middle, before the church is literally coming down. This is a church, it's a beautiful building. And the basement, the first time we got there, the basement was all soaked. So when we came back on Sunday, the inspector had been there, and the building, the water did not have approval. They have things coming at each end, but their spirits were good. And they're thankful for that. And thankful for our church. The church isn't the building, the church is the people. The church is the souls being saved, the people. Being reached out as God told us to, for people to follow the Great Commission and everything. So we're thankful for a place to join together, the brick and mortar. I say that because when we set up this church in Barron, yeah, this group, they were very, very small. They said that when we came in, they don't usually have to add a second row of seats to the little circle. This church itself, the building was huge. But their people, was a very, very, very small group. And so our family kind of helped give them some encouragement. They basically, their outreach there is a camp and also for the ministry. And hearing some of the things that they go through and the people they reach out to makes everything that we do just very, very peaceful. They're right next to a prison. They're right next to the pathway through where Jamie Swash was abducted, and that wasn't our intent, but we recognized where we were, when her parents are shot, and it's their ministry is also a prison ministry, and currently that area is doing its thing on child predators and everything. So the church and what they do is about to a children's camp, for wisdom for the church to recognize more knowledge and outreach. Amen. see what they ought to do with the light for nuclear power plant if that.
All right, amen. Amen. All right, Brother Bob and Messiah, can you come and... So, all right. Okay, let us bow together in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job.
Be
before you and your chairs. Page number 85. You sing the first verse of it and then pause for testimonies and we can sing the other portion afterwards. 85. The course books. And this one we put over for course books. Okay? Right, let's try it. Page number 85 in the course books. Springs of Living Waters. Sing the first verse on the chorus and then pause the testimonies. Afterward, we can sing the other part, portion of it. Page 85. I tossed in the barren land of sin and shame. And nothing satisfying day I found, but to the blessed cross one day I came. There springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. We are now open for testimonies. Who would like to be first to share the blessings of today throughout the past week? Anyone? Who would like to be number one? Do we have to sing a second portion of it?
I tried to translate, how do you say, in this Aramean, bless my soul in all the times, Psalm 34, I think.
Right.
That's my translation.
Yeah.
Always, you have, all the time you have that. Actually, it's my wife. Don't like the poetic, to be poetic, we have thanks for every bit of our heart depends on the Lord, everything. And all the blessings that are not deserved, because we believe everything is by grace, so not only salvation, but our whole life. And we were able to be here with our son, maybe I don't want to be, repetitious, but I'm so happy with that. I cannot believe how the Lord provides everything. imagine you have just one son and all your love is there. So it is, you are attached very much to that son. Family immediately here with you, with everyone. We have a good time, and not only a church, but outside the church, having dinner with different brothers, sisters are so kind, inviting us again and again. Julie was with us, a good time. In the beginning, the guys were kind of shy, but after that, they were singing and we were having a good time together, and we went out too with them. And so everything is like, you know, the Lord is generous when he gives, you know, blessing after blessings. Of course, there are a lot of trials, problems, but how many blessings that overcome all those trials. I think I want to be thankful to the Lord for that, because he is always so generous with us, giving us more than we deserve, for sure.
No, I'm scratching my head.
You're inviting me today.
Someone else with a blessing tonight, you'd like to share?
We want to sing to them.
All right.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear Carol. Happy anniversary to you.
We want a kiss, Roy. Come on, Roy. We want to see a kiss here. 45 years young.
Good. All right, that's quite a blessing, and to know that and to have that long life together. Someone else with a blessing, a testimony. Anyone else? We have a lot of young people in our groups who would want to tell something that God did for them throughout the past week. Okay, go ahead, Lydia. Praise the Lord. Someone else with a blessing. It doesn't have to be a long dissertation, just a short blessing of something God did for you in the past week. Anyone? No one had any blessings from God? Better than give us a song we can sing then.
Armani
okay,
got in the word at work.
Okay, go ahead. Armani, well, we thank God for that. We give him the glory. Right, God does the great things. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, Karen, your turn. You had to know.
I'm thankful for the time that the races were away, that I was able to stay at the parsonage. And at first, the animals and I get used to each other. So I think the first morning I was up quarter after six or something like that to take the dogs out. But as the weeks progressed and we got more and more used to each other, the very last day was 7:23. So they let me sleep in a little bit. we had fun. Got to brush them. Everything is still standing. There was no fire, no blood.
Okay.
Everybody's still alive.
That's right. That's good. That means they did a good job, Karen. And God.
The Lord.
Yeah, well, that's good. The Lord will bless you for what you have done. Someone else. We have just one other time. Anyone else before? We sing after other chorus. And then turn the service over to Pastor Rice. Anyone else? Okay, let's go back to our chorus book and sing the other song, Springs of Living Waters, on page 85, and then we will turn the service over to Pastor Rice. Sweet living waters from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing magnified by trust, I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Living waters, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied, drinking at the springs of living waters, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Wonderful to drink the waters that God gives us. It's wonderful water. At this time, we give the rest of the service to Pastor Rice.
I've been here about 8 years or so now, and of course it was just Paul, Lydia, and Holly, and they were very small. But did you think if you put next to your son playing in tune, one of the verses, you know, choruses, he was doing great along with you.
It's hard to believe that they grew up so fast. And he also played at Meadowview today, too, as we went over there to encourage the brethren there. And they were just, they were very happy that we came. And so I preached a message on Ephesians 1 on our spiritual bank account, and they were very happy about that. And just how much we have as Christians to be thankful for, that there's so many things to be thankful for in the Christian life that unsaved people have no idea of. And there's so much that we can just go around. If we all went around and shared one thing, we could go around again and again and again of all the things. In fact, we should do that tonight. Sometimes we get a little discouraged, you know, with different things and trials. So it's good to be encouraged by sharing one thing that you're thankful for. So where are we going to start tonight? I know we can start with our assistant pastoral intern, Mr. Daniel. Can you share what one thing you're thankful for tonight?
That the Lord allowed us to preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's something that we have an eternal task in our hands. It is something that, and we are never worthy of such a thing.
Sharing the gospel with him.
The gospel.
Wonderful.
With that guy. We going to the care center. We were at the chance to talk with some of them are more, you know, they're open and more awake. Let's say, you know, the right thing. So I am grateful for that, and for that our lives can be useful in that way. It would be a win. That's why we want to, and I have to pray for this, to sell our house so we can live a complete turn to our life. We always did, but now, okay, go all the way to the right or left, whatever, change it, and say, well, we dedicate our lives to the sharing the gospel with others. That's what I
Amen. 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 We will be praying with you for that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share one thing you're thankful for? Okay. All right. Let's go into the Word of God tonight. That was well said. 2 Timothy 3:1. It's important as we were traveling on, you know, to different churches. We went to Calvary Baptist Church in Minnesota. Then we went to another Calvary Baptist Church in Wisconsin. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is the importance of going through the whole Word of God as a church. That we can't get stuck in any let's say, one spot, you know, and preach just from one book all services, okay? That's why the Word of God has so many books, 66 books, and so many different, chapters and verses, and so it's so important that we stay with a, I guess, preaching many different books and preaching all of the doctrine of the Word of God. Sadly, so many churches are going astray, and we saw some of the signs of that. Strong churches that were going strong 5 years ago when we were there. Now our church are sadly veering into apostasy. You know, how does that happen? How does the church that was strong 5 years later now go and turn away from the truth? Well, it's because at some point they decided to stop preaching the whole counsel of God. Some point the pastor said, hey, you know what, there's things, certain things we're not going to preach here. We're just not going to address this topic. We're not going to address that topic. And that is a mark of the last days, as we see here. 2 Timothy 3:1, that the perilous time shall come. And it's a mark of the last days, when churches and Christians do these things. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be in your Word tonight. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd burn these truths deep within us, that we would have a holy and healthy fear of you and of shying away from your doctrines and trying to not teach people doctrines, Lord, that we would have a fear of that, lest we should be a castaway and one that is disapproved at your presence. That you have to say no rewards, Lord. Help us not to have to hear that from you, no rewards, but help us to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we pray for the churches that are in transition right now, that they would realize they're going the wrong way and come back to your Word. Pray you'd give courage to the believers that are still there fighting the good fight to teach the others, Lord. And I pray that you'd keep the strong churches strong. And in your Word, Lord, help our church to be strong. And help bring in the right people here into our church so we can go forward for you. As we minister in this community, we know there's so many needs, but we can only do so much. But we pray that you would put us in the right place at the right time so that we can help people come to Christ and help Christians to grow in you, Lord. We know that the ministries are having an impact because we see people coming in from them. Lord, we pray that you just bless and guide this night in your Word and encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So here we see what are the marks of the last days. Now you say, well, when did the last days start? And when is this going to happen? Well, the last days started, as the Apostle John said in 1 John, he said that we, my little children, you know, we are in the last days. He said the last days are now upon us. So when the church age, as John is finishing the Bible, he says the church age is the last days before Jesus is going to come back at the rapture. Okay, so we've technically been in the last days for the last 2,000 years during the church age. However, the last days of the last days is what is especially focused on by Paul and by Peter in their epistles. Okay, it says that in the last days, okay, now the last days of the last days. So in other words, you know that we're getting closer to the time when Jesus returns, when men shall be lovers of their own selves, okay? So it's a mark of the disintegrating times, lovers of their own selves. If that's a characteristic of our common society in general, I think that'd probably be the biggest one, right? That it's all about me and Facebook and what my face on Facebook and my selfie on Facebook and my what I like and what I want, and I don't like you telling me that because that offends me, and that must be hate speech because you just offended me. No, that just means there's a disagreeing viewpoint. It's not hate speech. It's called truth, you know? When someone disagrees with you and they have truth on their side, guess what? That's not hate speech. That's called truth. And this generation, I fear, of young people is trying to cast down anyone that disagrees with them. And they're trying to say, oh, well, you can't say that. Why can't we say the truth, you know? Well, because I don't like it. And it offends my feelings, okay? Well, and so we see that this is a mark of the last days, that what will this generation look like? They'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. They will always want something they can't have. They'll be boasting about themselves to everybody. They'll be that's one of the marks. Young people, don't be boasters, okay? If you're good at something, keep quiet about it. Let someone else praise you. That's what the Bible says. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Why is it important not to praise ourselves? Any thoughts on that? What does it do to other people when we say, oh, you did a great job at that? I know. I know. Oh, don't even tell me. I know. What does that do to everyone that just heard that? What were you going to say? Yes.
I.
That's exactly what Lucifer. I. Oh, Lucifer, you're so beautiful. You're the most beautiful angel. I know. Yes, I am. You're right. And I sing so well. And I'm sure Lucifer went through all those stages as he said five I wills against God. And so we see boasting is putting ourselves on a pedestal, thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to think. We shouldn't think of ourselves up here. We should think of ourselves down here. Hey, we are sinners saved by the grace of God.
Right.
Anything we have, did we get it ourselves? No. You know, if we got a speaking gift, did we get that ourselves? No, it was given to us when we're saved by the Lord. If we have a serving gift, was that given to us by ourselves? We're really good at something. No, that means God gave it to us, and we are just cultivating that talent or that gift. And so it's not us, it's God. If, you know, we wouldn't be able to move our body without God moving our heart, doing the heartbeat. The boom, 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 boom. So everything we have is from God. So we should not be boasters, okay? Just because your friends boast, don't boast. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. So if someone wants to say something good to you, what's a biblical appropriate thing to say? Paul, great job on the violin tonight, Paul. What should Paul say? Thank you. And as you say thank you, you can also say...
You're good. Something good about you.
Okay, you can say something good about them. Good, okay, kind of reciprocate. And what if it's a talent that the Lord gave you, such as violin playing? Paul, you did a great job on the violin tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good. Excellent. Say praise the Lord. That way, it immediately deflects your talent as if it's mine, because it's not really Paul's, you know. Paul didn't make his arm. Paul didn't make his other arm. He didn't make his fingers, you know. He's just using what God gave him. So so he's deflecting the praise, lest he should get a big head. Oh, I know. Thank you. I know. You know. No, he's making sure that God gets the praise. That keeps our head shrunk. Otherwise, you know, some people they walk around like, and when they walk into the room, they want everyone to notice. Hey, I'm here. Hey, look at me. I'm here. Yeah. And what do you immediately want to do in your own human reaction? Turn around, okay, I'm leaving. You know, oh man, they are stuck on themselves. That's pride, and that's, as Brother Daniel said, that's devilish. It's of the devil. If we think so much of ourselves that everyone has to focus on me and my talents and my abilities and all about me, that's a mark that you are proud and that a fall is coming soon. Pride goeth before a fall, as the Bible says. and that you're going to be brought low at some point soon. So let us not let our head get big, but let it stay small, and realizing everything we have is from God. Proud blasphemers, they don't care if they blaspheme God and blaspheme the Bible. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful. They don't care about their parents. I don't care if my dad said this to me. I'm not going to obey. My mom or my guardian said this. I want to do what I want to do. Well, that's a mark of the perilous times to come. Unthankful. Anything they get. What is one thing that you always need to do, young people, when you get something from someone? Thank them. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. That's mine. You walk away, you know, your parents buy you food. That's mine. What is that going to make your parent or guardian want to do for you the next time? You're going to buy your own. Why should I buy you that? You're not thankful for what I gave you. Okay, so be communicating thankfulness. Say thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. Everything we have is from God, and people had to work hard to get it. Okay, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. Okay, is everyone there? Kids, I want to see Bibles out. Pages not turning, but instead, good, okay. That you guys are looking down in the Bible, okay. Truth breakers, that means without natural affection. They don't have the normal feelings of love for fellow man. God gave us normal feelings of love one for another. To help us to consider one another, love one another, and when you get on a bus, you know, to treat people respectfully, you know, to sit in your own seat, and you know, and treat people with kindness, and well, that's natural affection. Well, this last generation of the last days is not even going to have that. They're only going to care about themselves, and they're only going to have affection for themselves. They're truth breakers. They'll tell you something. They'll say, "Oh yeah, I'll do that," and they'll lie to you, and they'll break their truths. They're false accusers. They're incontinent. That means they are not consistent. They're always inconsistent. They show up to work sometimes, and then the next week they don't show up to work. I'm sure we could go to the bosses. You know. How is the young people today with showing up to work? Miss Dominique, you can share with us a little bit about that. Some show up, right? So it depends on their family, right? If they learned well from their family to show up, to do your job, to be diligent. If they learned a good work ethic, they'll probably show up. But if they didn't have that model set before them, how do they usually come in? And go out. How long do they usually last at the job? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? 2 months. Okay. And then they have 3 no calls, no shows, and they're fired. Okay. Yes, Armani. You're there early. Good. You learned a good work ethic. You see your family members around you working hard and earning money, and you know what? They go to their job, and they stay the whole shift, and they clock in, and they clock out, and sometimes they have to stay late, and sometimes they have to do this. And so you see that good work ethic, so it's not hard for you to work hard, because you see that in front of you. Well, that's something that, unfortunately, that a lot of parents are spoiling their children so much that they are literally sheltering them from work, and it makes them... sometimes do these things. Okay, fear, false, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, that the last generation before Jesus comes is going to despise those that are good. You goody-goody, oh, you Bible thumper, oh, you Christian, you're clinging to God and religion and all these things. And what are they doing? They're casting aspersions at anyone who has a code of law or a code of moral ethics and claims to believe in God and the Bible and in Jesus, What are they trying to say? They're trying to say, you shouldn't be like that. You should be like me with no law. You should be like me. I am my own law. That's someone who is a despiser of those that are good. They despise us because we love the Lord, because they love themselves and their sin. So these are some marks of the final generation. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is what we're seeing, I believe we're seeing in this generation, is we're seeing some quote-unquote Christians, a lot of Christians all over, that just are, you know, going through the motions of a church, you know, and, oh, it's all about our church and all about dressing down and all about just being cool and going through the motions of being having a cool church. But what's happening is, well, by denying the power of God, by, you know, staying true to the Word of God and to all the precepts and the doctrines of it, and by watering it down and saying, we don't want that doctrine, kick that one under the shelf. We don't, oh, this doctrine? Well, that's too convicting. Kick that out of here. Oh, the holiness of God? No, God's not that holy. You know, He's our buddy. Let's kick that doctrine out of here. And by kicking doctrines all over the place that they don't agree with and they don't like, they are having a form of godliness. They have some doctrines, you know. They may still baptize by immersion. Oh, yeah, we baptize here in our cool church, you know, liquid church, we baptize here, and they'll celebrate, you know, baptism, and they'll have a once a year baptismal, you know. It's like, what about all the people that want to get baptized right after they get saved, and should get baptized? You know, you're gonna make them wait once a year to get baptized? And so they'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, that it's not about just certain pet doctrines that we like and that we can uphold, but it's about all the Bible and keeping it and then staying close to God, as we talked about this morning, by confessing sin so that we can have the power of God in our life. Yes, Dominique. Wow. Yeah. That's a mark. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to disarm Christians. If we stop bringing our Bible to church, if we stop having it at home, if we just say, well, I have it on my electronic device, he has done what his job is, and that is disarm the Christians. That he can come in and he can attack and he can throw his fiery darts and he can get them here and there and other, and he can get us. Why? Because we don't have a sword. Our sword is somewhere and it's not around. We may have a sword from years ago, but we don't know where it is. Well, that's no way to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil. Those contemporary churches that promote the dark lighting. You know, how can you read a Bible in a very dimly lit church? You can't. You can't read a Bible. So they say, oh, well, that's why you have to bring your phone. Well, what about someone who doesn't want a phone, you know, to read? What if they want to just use a phone for calling and they don't want a smartphone? Well, I'm sorry, you're left out, you know. What about someone who says, no, I want a paper Bible? Well, you got to bring your flashlight, you know. It's like, what are they trying to hide in a dark church? Well, that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants to have churches to have a form of godliness. Well, there's some, you know, the pastor's up there after the long entertaining music. He's up there for 15 minutes and he's 20 minutes and he's sharing some scriptures, you know. Yes, but once again, the whole doctrines of the Word of God are not there. It's certain pet doctrines that's non-offensive. And so this is what's happening in our modern generation today is churches have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God in their life by not obeying the Word of God, by not wanting the doctrine, by not wanting the whole Christian life, and not wanting the Holy Spirit's filling. No, if Holy Spirit's filling, that's too hard. Let's drum up the Holy Spirit. Hey, Daniel, on the drums, over there. let's drum up the Holy Spirit. We need to usher the Holy Spirit in. Can you do play some ditties over there? And sure enough, they can drum in, they think, the Holy Spirit. They can usher him in. There's the modern contemporary songwriters. They have many songs now that say, come Holy Spirit into our presence. And as if the Holy Spirit is, you know, waiting out in the hallway, out in the foyer with the coffee. He's waiting until they sing that right song. And then all of a sudden he ushers his presence into the building, into the auditorium, the sanctuary. It's so silly. It's very, people mock at those kind of antics, because it is not the Word of God. The Holy Spirit should be there, present throughout the whole service, not just ushered in by a certain tempo of a drum, or a certain tempo of a piano, or a certain tempo of some rock guitar, that all of a sudden, when everyone feels that crescendo, oh, the Holy Spirit's here, wow, this is great, we're finally feeling the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit they're feeling. That is a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit. That's an incantation that they used to do in pagan cultures. That they would literally incant, play music in such a repetitious style around in a circle, keep doing the same things until they got the incantation that they wanted, which was a demonic spirit. And they'd bring this demonic spirit in, and then someone would literally want to be the channel for that demonic spirit, and then that person would get filled with that demon, and then they'd go and do crazy things for the next hours until that demon finally left them, writhing on the ground. You know, that is the paganism that so many churches are literally, whether wittingly or unwittingly, bringing in by thinking they can incant the Holy Spirit into the worship service. And it is a dangerous, dangerous thing they are messing with. And my uncle, he was at a church, and he went to a church because he thought, that's what everybody should do, go to that kind of church. And he said as the lights got dark and as they were singing the songs, it was all about he and him and who and just generic personal pronouns, not Jesus, not God, not Holy Spirit, but just he, him, who. And he's like, who are we inviting into this room right now? And he got the feeling that, this isn't God who's being ushered into this worship, quote-unquote, church worship service. And it's not God. And it scared him enough to get out of there. And now he's looking for, he was looking for a Bible preaching church. But that should cause us to be fearful, because the devil is alive and active today, doing such crazy things because Christians are believing and gullible. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Because of their guilt from their past, these unstable women laden with sins were particularly susceptible to the asceticism and legalism of these false teachers, such as you have to do these certain things, the external trappings, but not following God. You have to do these things. And so that we cannot be, as Christians, we cannot be as silly women, okay, or silly men. that's what a silly woman sounds like. She's just blindly, naively following her friends. Oh, that's so nice. And she goes off and puts on whatever clothing they're putting on, and puts on whatever makeup and whatever styles, and they're silly, going, following each other. Well, that's something that is very dangerous, but that's what the Lord is talking about here, that just like a silly person follows others laden with sins, so Christians in this final generation are going to be led away with diverse, many different lusts. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is, I believe, what we're seeing in our scholastic systems today in church, in seminaries and Bible colleges, that they're, by denying the Word of God, saying, no, we don't want a literary word-for-word Bible, no, in English. Let's get a phrase-for-phrase Bible. Let's get a know, more of an interpretation of God's Word, and where they kind of do the work for us, and they tell us what it says. Well, by doing that, they are now bypassing God's method, which is verbal plenary inspiration and the study to show thyself approved. Now we're trusting these people to tell us what the Bible says in the NIV, in the ESV, in the NASB. And so what is happening is it's leading not toward belief in scholasticism. It's leading toward unbelief. It's leading toward, well, I don't know if that verse is really in there. You know, I don't think that verse is in there. I don't think that verse is in there. That last chapter of Mark 16, you know, where Jesus talks to the... No, that wasn't in the oldest manuscript. Well, the oldest... They're finding out these oldest manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. The latest studies on these things by discerning scholarship, such as Dr. Waite and David Daniels and others, they're finding out that these are actually... they're elaborate written documents by forgers back in the 1800s. That forging old documents was considered something to do in the 1800s, because they all wanted fame in the early 1800s. All these men wanted fame, so they'd try to go somewhere, find some document, and put their name to it to get fame. Well, that was popular in the 1800s. Sure enough, that's exactly what Tischendorf and the other guys did, Westcott and Horton, all these. They said, oh, this old document that's in the Vatican, that's in the trash can, and oh yeah, it doesn't look very old, but we'll say it's from 300 to 400 because one of the early church fathers said something about it, they examined the pages. You can see it on the internet now. And half of the document is real light, and half of the document is real dark. Like the first 44 pages that Tischendorf brought over were all darkened because he put coffee and literally ground it in the page to make it look older. But then later on they found, you know, he brought the rest of the book and it's all light. Why is one real dark, one real light? Because they used lemon juice, they used other things to try to make these pages look antique. And there's so many cross-outs. Like, I was reading the book by David Daniels of What Is This? And What Bible Is This? And sure enough, there's so many cross-outs and everything. And this is supposed to be the oldest Bible and the one that now everything has to be reset because of these two old manuscripts. And it looks like a child has, like, literally drawn in an arrow. These scriptures should be in here, you know. Like in Greek, you could just see how, boy, this is really bad. Is a really bad proof. You know how you proofread documents? Well, this is like your rough draft. And yet the Bible scholars have now reset everything and said, oh, all our Bibles have to be based on these two large manuscripts because they're the supposedly oldest. And they're finding out, wait, these are actually forgeries. But that's how Satan works. Satan loves to have people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's wrong with believing that God preserved His Word all through the centuries? And that we don't, oh, in the 1800s, oh, we just recovered the Word of God. It's missing some verses, so that must be how it was given to us. Oh, those old manuscripts that just kept getting copied, no, you can't trust them because now we have two really old ones. What's wrong with believing what God said in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. Thou shalt preserve thy word from this generation forever. What is wrong with believing the preservation of Scripture? Because Jesus promised it. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass till all be fulfilled. Okay, so if Jesus lost some verses, then he lied to us. But I would contend with you, he didn't lose any verses. It's the liars are the modern scholarship. And that's what we are having today. And that's why they're in Bible colleges and seminaries, we got to really watch out. Because all the seminaries, the Bible colleges are falling for it. Even the Bible college I went to, in the advanced Greek classes, they were teaching, well, yeah, there. One of the teachers said, well, you know, that verse might not be in there. And this verse. And so these young guys coming to Bible college to preach the Bible are now saying, what? You're telling me there's a verse that's not... You mean God messed up? What does that do? It shakes their faith to the core. And that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. God didn't lose any verses. None of them are gone. None of them are missing. We have everything we need. That's why we're holding fast to the King James. Because once you go away from this book, you have to go along with that premise. Well, you know, there's some parts missing. You know, I'm not leaving any of God's word. I'm not going to give it up for anybody. I don't care who tries to make me. I've had family members. I've had close friends. I've had people in seminary try to tell me, "Oh, Jeremy, you got to change with the times. Don't you know that we're people just don't believe that stuff anymore? You know, it's not as cut and dry as you think. You know, where's that coming from? The doubt in the Word of God." It's coming right from the Garden of Eden, where Satan said, "Yea, hath God said." Did God really say that? I don't think he did, Satan said to Eve. So, verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That Jannes and Jambres, they stood up to Moses and said, "Moses, we don't believe you're the only one that can lead us. In fact, we're going to prove it because we're going to bring our golden censers and we're going to do the same things you're doing. And we can all lead Israel." 125 of them followed Jannes, Jambres, Korah, Dathan, Abiram to withstand Moses. Why? Because they were reprobate concerning the faith. They didn't want to accept the fact that God was going to speak through one leader to the people. That God only needed one leader, you know? As if Jesus is not enough. Well, he's the Lord and Savior, but we need Jesus and Mary. We need this saint over here. We need that saint over here. That's exactly what the Catholic Church believes. They believe that God's not powerful enough. He needs all this help. Well, that's exactly the demonic deception that is going to go on in the last days. But verse 9, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." So, the true Christians, even in the last days, before the coming of Christ, as long as we stay in our Bibles, and we make sure you have the right Bible, don't go to the wrong Bible, because you'll start to get confused. As long as we're in our Bibles, guess what? Their folly is going to be very evident. Their folly is going to be evident. We're going to be able to see them for who they are. Fakes, frauds, deceivers. And they're trying to peddle a bunch of wares that is false doctrine. Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Notice here, if the Bible is not what it says it is, and if doctrine is not important to hold on to, and if it doesn't matter how we believe as Christians, just go to any church that calls itself a church or a fellowship, a liquid church, and run-of-the-mill church, and you know, mountaintop church, valley church, you know, and all that matters is, you know, that they're cool and trendy. Then you know what? Then Paul says, why am I going through what I'm going through to try to preach the gospel? Why suffer persecution if it's just a run-of-the-mill Christianity that we want? If it's just a Christianity that no one really says anything bad about, and everyone's, "Oh yeah, you can believe that. Oh sure, you're fine." You know, and we are seeing a Christianity that's being peddled in the political sphere. The Jesus that approves of homosexuality, a Jesus that says, "Oh yeah, homosexuality is not a sin." That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Do you know what Jesus that is? That's the Jesus out of the pit of hell that Satan has made. And so many Jesuses, fake Jesuses that Satan keeps trying to peddle to people to say, "Oh yeah, this and that is not true." That is not the Jesus of the Bible. And there are other Jesuses out there. They're being taught. They're being preached. "Oh yeah, Jesus in our church, you know, he drinks, you know. Jesus in our church, he was a social drinker, and you know, he turned water into wine, and he That was alcoholic wine that he turned it into. Yeah, Jesus wasn't against that. That's not the Jesus of the Bible they're preaching. You know what Jesus they're preaching? They're preaching the Jesus they want him to be so they can do their sin and try to get away with it. But guess what? One day they're going to stand before the Jesus of the Bible. And that lie is not going to go anywhere. Instead, they are going to have to face the Jesus of the Bible who says, put not the cup before him when it is red, when it turneth itself aright. Woe to the winebibber that giveth his neighbor drink. You know, that God says, don't you dare serve other people alcohol because you are now participating in whatever they do after they get drunk. It should be a very dangerous thing for us to ever give anything bad to another person. We should say, nope, not through my hands. If you want to smoke, if you want to drink, if you want to do drugs, I'm out of here. I'm not having any part of this. We should stay away from people like that because they will incriminate us. And so here Paul says that you have known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came on me at Antioch, at Iconium, as he was planting churches, preaching the gospel, seeing people get saved, and then as people were getting saved, many times it was the Jewish people that didn't want the Christ would come in and try to stone him, or the Gentile unbelievers would come in and try to put him in jail and beat him and try to kill him. He says, why would I endure these things for a faith that is not powerful? For a faith that's not real? He says, that's silly. That's dumb. I endure these things, but the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can mark it down. If you are going to seek to follow after the Word of God as it's written in the faithful translation, and if you are going to seek to keep every doctrine of the Word of God, you can mark it down. You're going to have people that are going to come against you. But that's what they did to Jesus too. So we are not greater than our Lord. That if we suffer persecution, we should consider it joy. As James says, I count it joy when I go through various trials and tribulations and suffer persecution. But verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, it through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Remember that just like you got saved, it was simple childlike faith. Some of us got saved when we were a child. Some of us got saved when we were an adult. Well, remember, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures that brought you to that point, made you wise to realize you needed Christ as your Savior. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That there is a constant bombardment from the world and even carnal, fleshly Christians to say, oh, stop fighting, stop fighting, stop fighting, just give in already, just do what we're doing. But you know, if we do that, number one, we'll lose the approval of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, we will lose the power of God in our life. Number three, we will lose our testimony with unsaved people. Number four, we will lose true Christian friendship and companionship. And a true church that stands together shoulder to shoulder, you'll lose that close fellowship you once had. You'll feel like you're the one out and out. Why are the church members not treating me the same as they once did? Well, have you taken steps to go outside of true doctrine? Are you on your way out of from the Word of God? If that's the case, you'll start to feel a separation. And so we should guard against that by staying in the Word of God, loving it, reading it every day, and coming to church each time the doors are open, and God will bless us. And that when Jesus comes back at the rapture, we'll be able to go unashamed. And that's my goal. I don't care who tells me what. I don't care what family member, what friend, what co-worker, what whoever what pastor friend tries to tell me something, if it goes against the Bible, I say, you know what? I value God's friendship more than your friendship. And I'm going to stay with God's friendship. And that's the way it needs to stand with us, and God will bless us. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight, that you gave us the marks of how what we should look for in the closing days of grace, in the last days of the church age, that you gave us hallmarks of what people would be like, and even churches would be like. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not go that way, but that we would take a stand, and that we'd try to stay faithful to you. We know that we're not perfect. There is no perfect church. There's going to be foibles. There's going to be missteps at times because we are imperfect people. But we are seeking to stay faithful to you, Lord, in doctrine and in charity and care one for another, and in the spreading your gospel and in training, discipling believers, Lord. I pray that you'd help keep us faithful to you until you return. And we pray you'd keep Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah faithful to you as they seek to go to their next plans of selling their house and planting a church in Spain, Lord. We pray that you just lead and guide and direct them with your blessing and your guidance, that they can set out to do the work that you are calling them to do. We pray for Brother Ezekiel, that you'd help train him in true doctrine, not in the fake pseudo-doctrines of so many seminaries and Bible colleges today that say they're fully believing the Bible but are not. Lord, I pray you just guard him, shelter him, send him exactly the right school that you would have him to train under, or the right pastor to train under. Lord, I pray you just lead and guide and direct him. And I pray you just bless us tonight, Lord, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us go to our hymn book as we close. Okay. All right, let's sing that one. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, if you want to just come and kneel the altar, perhaps you want to pray for someone else that you can influence them, or maybe pray for that unsaved family member who doesn't need to pray, could you come as we stand? What is it? Eight twenty-six, let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you need to come for any reason, would you come?
I have decided to follow
How's his health?
Pastor Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did come today and he did drive to them this morning. And then I went over to talk to them because it appeared as soon as he was leaving, and sure enough, he was. He said, I just don't feel well yet. And well, it's a difficult call. Sometimes it takes a long time. But he said, I don't usually have this.
Yeah, let's pray for Pastor Logan's health. Any other prayer requests to pray for? Baby Grayson. Anyone else?
Eunice.
Eunice. Okay, let's pray for Eunice. Anyone else? Okay, let us close in prayer. And Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer?
Father God, we constantly get it thrust in our faces of the cheapening that is attempting to be done on our true faith. We know, Lord, that if we're going to remain that we will soon face our God, who is the source of the doctrine that we have lived by, and is also the source of the judgment as well as the forgiveness of our sins. And we know that this is not something that can be gotten together from some bogus or counterfeit deity that they put together. We know, Lord, these people are in serious trouble. And if there's any possible way that we can get to them, to teach them the correct word and bring them back to truth, and just ask, Lord, if this could be done, this
Amen.
Could be done.
Amen.
And just ask, Lord, if it be you, what would you be able to use us to do at least part of it? Because we know that these end times are really desperately wicked, and there's no limit to the imagination that Satan will add to these things that come up as a result of these wizards that we have today telling us what our religion should really be. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us the truth of your word, and that your word does not change at all. For that we can turn to Hebrews 13:8, and there is our guarantee, our cast iron guarantee against time, against anything, that your word and you do not change. And we just thank you for this, Lord.
Amen.
We pray that you would continue to guide us, and that you would keep us true to your word and true to your purpose here. And we just ask, Lord, that you would add the increase for everything that we would try to do for you here, that you might be glorified and honored through this work in a very special way. And for these ones who need a touch from you tonight, we just ask, Lord, that you would send them the right people at the right time to take care of any needs that they have. And beyond that, Lord, we would ask that you, as the supreme physician, would take personal care of their healing.
Amen.
We know that these are extravagant requests, but we don't have a God who has a constricting budget.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this. Pray that you dismiss us now with your blessing, being better for having enclosed to your word in this your house. In Christ's name we thank you for many things. Amen.
Amen.